In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to give us new life through death. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, murder your darlings, but it's just kind of a fun phrase. It's a fun phrase that usually gets bandied about in writing circles because it started off with a writer, a guy named Sir Arthur Quiller Couch. And Quiller Couch, who often went by Q, he was this guy. He was a novelist, he was a professor, he was a literary critic, and he was a coach to other novelists. He was just kind of like this huge literary figure in England. And he came up with this phrase that he told to other people that were writing. He said, well, some of you have to murder your darlings. And what he meant by that was that a lot of these writers, they would really get into the writing process, and they would write all of these flowery things, and yet those things didn't serve to really build up the whole of what they were doing. And so they were writing this great story, and then they would go down all kind of this like rabbit trail. And that would be one of the things that was one of their darlings. Because they loved this, otherwise they wouldn't put that rabbit trail in there, but it really ended up not serving the whole. Now, I know that I have been accused of some darlings in some of my sermons sometimes. So this is kind of good stuff for me to think about as I think about what serves the whole, and that I kind of have to murder my darlings sometimes when I'm putting together one of these sermons. And yet there's something deeper here, something that kind of connects up with what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying specifically in the second part of our reading from Colossians. So Paul is saying that the Colossians need to murder their darlings. And specifically, he gives them kind of a list to start with. Like, here's a list of some of the darlings that you should think about murdering in your life. And so he starts off, you should murder immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. It is for these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And then he continues a little bit later. He says, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from all of your mouth. Do not lie to one another and set aside the old self and its evil practices. And he goes on and he even brings up some more stuff. He brings up things like racism, because he says that there should be no distinction between Greeks and Jews, circumcised and uncircumcised, Scythian. And he even talks about not just racism, but prejudices that come about because of economic differences. When he's talking about the differences between slaves and freemen. And he says, well, this is a good place for you to start thinking about killing your darlings. And in fact, when you get into the Greek, he says you should destroy those earthly things. And as you're thinking about that, you're maybe thinking through like, oh, well, do any of those things connect up with me? Are there any things that get in the way with me? There are any darlings that I have, any sins that I know that I have that I commit on a regular basis. Maybe those are the sins that you try to kind of hide away from God, which is silly, but we all do it. Maybe those sins are the sins that you just kind of imagine, well, that's maybe not such a big deal. Everybody does that. But maybe those things are specifically the things that are getting in the way of the whole. And that's what Sir Arthur Quiller Couch was talking about. He was talking about, well, what you want to do when you're murdering your darlings is you want to murder specifically the things that are getting in the way of what your final product is going to be, what the final story is going to sound like, what it's going to look like as that story comes together. And so as you start to get into what those darlings are, you start to recognize, well, I need some more information. Because I can just go throughout my life and I can start murdering things, but I'm not sure which things are the right things to murder. And so in order to know what to murder, well, I need to know, well, what is it that I am going to look like at the end of all of this? Well, thankfully, where we started was the second half of the reading. And so the first half of the reading really gives us a sense of what that whole is supposed to look like. So Paul says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, who is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And so there's kind of this sense of like, oh, okay, so the whole, the thing that I'm going to be, the entirety of my story, well, that's going to be revealed in the resurrection. And so when I'm thinking about my life and I'm thinking about which darlings to kill, I need to think about, well, I need to think about what am I going to be like in the resurrection? In the resurrection, in a place where there's no sin. In the resurrection, a place where Christ has taken away all of that stuff. And as I start to think about that, I can maybe get a sense of what it's like to live into that existence. Of course, there's something a little problematic in that reading that I just did for you, and maybe you caught it, maybe not, but here's something that Paul said, and this may have triggered you a little bit, because Paul says, for you have died. Oh, we don't like that one. Because honestly, like you know, we're brought up in life to say, well, there's two things, life and death, and of the two, I like life. Life is my preference. And so when Paul says that you have died, that's going to be a part of what it is that you are going towards. That's part of your resurrection existence. Well, that's a little disconcerting. But I think that the nice people in the Marvel Cinematic Universe are able to help us out here a little bit. Now, for some of you, when I say Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know exactly what I'm getting at because you are comic book nerds. But for the rest of you, there's this whole thing about the Marvel Cinematic Universe that what they had to do in order to kind of work through the idea that they had all of these stories and some of these stories sort of conflicted with one another, they had to come up with this idea called the multiverse. And the multiverse means that there's separate universes that are kind of simultaneously existing, and in some universes there's this person who continues on, and in another universe there's a similar person who is just like that person in another universe though.
I've never been prouder of you.
Thank you. And most of the time, this is totally okay, except every now and again, there's this thing called a variant. And a variant is sort of like a hiccup in the machine. It's like a virus that happens. And when this variant appears, well, at least a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe says, well, the thing that you need to do with a variant is you need to prune it. You need to kill it. You need to get rid of it because it's going to wreck the rest of the multiverse. Well, in a lot of ways, that's what God is doing when he forgives our sins. I mean, a lot of times we think about God's forgiving our sins as being this nice, gentle, loving act. And that's not a bad way of thinking about it. But there's another piece to it. There's another piece to it that is actually kind of extremely violent. Because what God is doing when he forgives your sins is he's taking that variant. He's taking that person that you would be without the forgiveness of your sins. And he's taking it out back. And he's pruning it. He's getting rid of it. He's murdering it. And that happens to you. It happens when you're baptized. It happens when you hear the words of forgiveness. It happens even when you come to this altar and you take his body and his blood, and that poisons that variant. Because he doesn't want that variant to exist. But rather, he wants you. And in fact, what he does is, he doesn't just kill the variant, but he kills the variant. And then he raises it to new life. That's our story, each and every one of us. People that are pruned, murdered, over and over again. Because we're God's darlings. Because we're the people that he loves. And so should we do our best when we go out to try to murder these things before they become a part of us? Of course. Take that list from Paul's letter to the Colossians and try to stay away from them. But know that even the things that you're not able to stay away from, especially those things, that God handles them, that God forgives them, that God puts them to death and raises you to new life. So may you go out this week knowing that you are given new life through God murdering his darlings. Amen.